What if I told you you could make six figures a year from digital products with a tiny email list and a very small social media following? Imagine having an email list of only 300 people, only putting out content on YouTube and having about 3,000 subscribers there. Yet for the past 4 years, you've been making at least six figures per year from digital products. That's exactly what my guest today has done, and she will share her secrets with you here in just a minute.
Regular people are taking their knowledge and content, packaging it up in an online course, and they're making a living doing it. But not everyone is successful with online courses. There's a right way and there's a wrong way, and I'm here to help course creators actually succeed with online courses. Hi, I'm Jacques Hopkins, and this is the Online Course Show.
Hey everyone, I'm Jacques Hopkins and welcome into the Online Course Show. This is the show all about running highly profitable online course businesses. This podcast has been around since 2017. We've done a lot of episodes, and here you're listening to episode 221, where we're featuring a very successful course creator. Her name is Aiko Hemingway. She's based out of Japan, and she helps, look, she's got a very specific niche. She helps native Japanese speaking executives to excel in the English speaking business world through better English pronunciation and more confidence with their speech. So she's very, very niche down. But what's most impressive about Aiko is just how small her following is, yet how successful she's been. Like I said, for the past 4 years, she has done at least six figures, at least $100,000 per year from her digital products every year. And at this point, she has 330 people on her email list and only about 3,000 subscribers on YouTube, her main traffic driving channel. So if you've been struggling because you think you need a big email list, you think you need a ton of YouTube subscribers or followers on other social platforms, this could be the episode for you to give you the motivation that it's possible without having a huge following. So let's get on with the full conversation between myself and Aiko Hemingway. Hey, Aiko, welcome to the Online Course Show.
Hey, Jacques. Thank you for having me.
I'm just enjoying my afternoon coffee here, but I know it's bright and early there in Japan. How is Japan this morning?
It's pretty cold outside. It's 7 a.m. over here. Nice sunshine outside. Yeah, I'm enjoying the morning.
That's certainly on my bucket list. I'm ashamed to say I've never been to Japan. I would love to travel. I had an opportunity to go like 15 years ago with my friend. And, you know, I was working the 9-to-5 job and I was like, I can't take off a week of work. And I missed the opportunity and I really want to go one day. So hopefully I can make that happen.
Yeah, that sounds good. You will tell me when you visit.
Yes, I'll need to. Yeah. So for the sake of the audience, let's go over what you do, who you help.
Yes. Okay, so I am an English pronunciation coach specifically for Japanese speakers. And right now I help Japanese executive people and also Japanese people who want to get into the media in a specifically American market. And then I help them improve their English pronunciation, but not just pronunciation, but overall breathing. Also how to speak and also how to do the presentation.
Okay. Let me just make sure I'm perfectly clear on your audience, your niche. Now you said the words right now, like right now you're helping specifically executives, things like that. Has your specific niche changed over the years?
Yes. So first, when I started, I was teaching everything. I was teaching grammar, conversations, and also the fluency in English. But then I realized that I don't want to teach grammar because I'm not really good at it. So I started focusing on just pronunciation. And then I was teaching everyone, like everyone, meaning I was trying to teach non-Japanese as well. But then it didn't work out. I just I just didn't enjoy. And then sometimes I said, okay, so I am looking for any Japanese who wants to improve their English pronunciation. So I was saying anyone is welcome. But right now I say my coaching is not for everyone. And I specifically talk to just the specific audience. So Japanese executives and also people who want to get into media.
That's so interesting because you started out very, very broad. And what made you want to narrow down so much? Is it that you were so broad that you weren't really appealing to much of anybody? Or is it that you didn't like that particular audience?
Well, okay. So I guess it's about pricing too, but first I was not charging enough, right? So I was charging $20 an hour for lessons, 20, right? And then what happened was I had a lot of last minute cancellations and also sometimes no show, no call. And I got really tired of it. And also my students didn't really study or practice. And then I started raising my price to like $40 or $60, $80, $100. And then I charge $1,000 now. So the results I'm getting from my clients are very different because they practice so much to get out of all the great transformation and the results, right? So when I charge more, I started attracting different clientele. So that's when I started realizing, oh, okay, I want to focus on Japanese executives because they talk with other companies' executives and then they are the face of their company. So I really want to help those people who make a big impact in the economy.
Yeah, that's so interesting with going from $20 a session to $1,000 a session. How long of a time period are we talking about? When did you get started with all of this?
Well, I started when it was like 2016. So I was trying to charge like $20 an hour. But then I couldn't find any client for 14 months. And then when I first found my client, I was charging $20. So that was 2017. And I started doubling it. Keep doubling it. So when I met you, that was in 2020, I was charging about 300 or maybe 400 around that time. And then I kept raising. So 400 to 500, 600, and then now 1,000. So in 2024, it's $1,000 an hour.
Okay. So when you first got started and you decided to charge $20 an hour, Was this some kind of in-person coaching or were you online at this point?
Online already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you went online, couldn't find too many clients, kept working at it, raising your prices. Now, where did digital products, courses, things like that fall in for you? Or at this point, are you just offering the one-on-one coaching?
So when I started my one-on-one coaching, I realized that I teach the same thing over and over. I say the same thing over and over. So I'm like, maybe I can write down what I teach. So first, I made a email lesson, 5-day email lesson written, even though it's pronunciation. So I sold a $20 5-day email lesson to see if it sells. So I sold it at $20. And then I set I set 5 emails in MailChimp. And then I set the PayPal account and then made $20 payment link through my PayPal. And I put it on my blog. I put it in my email sequence and then to see if it sells. And then I sold about 20. And then I realized, oh, it is called passive income. And that was 2018 or 2017, maybe. And then I realized that, okay, so this is how people make passively, right? People make income passively. And then I wanted to explore more. And one response from people who bought my email sequence, she said, "I wish you made audio recording for this, because it's about pronunciation, right? You cannot learn pronunciation just by reading, right?" And then at that time, I was scared of making videos because I'm as an introvert, I'm not good at speaking in front of people. So I decided to practice public speaking. I joined Toastmasters to give speeches. I started my YouTube to create videos so that I will become more comfortable making video courses. So that's when I started making video courses. So that was 2018. And then I made a mini course on Teachable and to see if it sells. And I sold like 18 or 16. And then I joined Udemy after that. So I sold like 3 mini courses. And then now I have more than 5,000 students there. And later I explored Kajabi. Now I have a big course, my flagship course there, and selling beautifully and charging more because I get 100% from Kajabi, yeah. Right? And then right now I have an email, the evergreen funnel. So people come into the funnel and I use deadline funnel connecting with Kajabi. So people receive 12-day email sequence, and I am selling that course in there. So that's how it started.
Yeah. So is it fair to say today you have, is it 2 main offers? Is it your flagship course and your one-on-one coaching, or is it more to it than that?
Yes, those are the 2 main things right now. I used to have group coaching too, but then I stopped offering it last year.
Why'd you stop?
Because I didn't really, maybe I got tired of promoting it. And maybe, the system that I created was flexible and it was good for me, maybe in 2019, but now it doesn't really work for my schedule. So I just didn't want to do it. So even though it was like kind of bread and butter kind of product, but I killed it last year. And now focusing on creating my ideal lifestyle.
Amazing. I can get down with that. So the flagship course, you do some one-on-one coaching. We already established that's $1,000 an hour. How much is the course?
It's regular price. $3,200, but in the funnel, it's $1,600.
Okay, they get half off in the funnel. That's the urgency you're using inside the funnel. Now, that's fairly high ticket. I imagine maybe it's more of a coaching program. How does the course work? Is there support in addition to the material, or is it just a course?
Just a course. People can ask questions in the course, but it's just self-study. They work through watching my videos.
So are the majority of people booking one-on-one sessions with you for $1,000, or those people that have already purchased your course and would like additional support?
Both. So from the beginning, people decide, okay, I just want to take the self-study course, or I want to take it with the coaching. So people just decide which one they want to do.
Okay. Do you ever make sales at full price on the course outside the funnel, or are they all coming through at $1,600?
I don't. So no one buys at $3,200. And yes, so I just make sales with the 50% off.
Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of application at that price, or they go straight to a buy now order form?
Yeah, it just goes straight to the sale.
To a Kajabi order form, right? Yes. Do you offer a payment plan?
No, I don't.
Wow. So fascinating. And so like roughly, could you give me roughly how many of these you sell in a month?
A month? Right now, maybe 2 copies to 6 copies a month.
2 to 6 a month. Okay. So what you're doing for revenue in your business is a combination of selling these $1,000 plus courses that's mostly passive, plus the one-on-one coaching, which is a very high rate, right?
Right.
That's the two main sources of income that you have?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, it's fair to say you're consistently making 6 figures per year with this?
Yes, since 2020.
2020 was your first 6-figure year?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a big milestone?
Yes, because the 2019, I made 45,000. And then 2020 was 120, so.
Amazing. I wonder how close you're getting to like 7 figures all time.
I'm working on it. Yeah.
All right. So we've been over the offers. We talked a little bit about the funnel. We might come back to it, but I want to talk about traffic. How have you driven traffic into your world and how are you doing it today?
Yes. So mostly from YouTube. And I started my YouTube in 2017, January. And as of now, I have about 3,600 subscribers. So the number is not so big right now. When I have people coming into my funnel from my YouTube videos, the conversion rate is pretty high. So
the ratio of YouTube subscribers to income is really, really, really amazing, right? 3,000 YouTube subscribers, that's your main traffic source. No paid ads, nothing else significant, mainly just YouTube?
No. So when I made 6 figures when my YouTube channel was like 1,000 or so, 1,000 subscribers.
So tell me what is your strategy on YouTube? Are you providing a call to action to a free lead magnet at the end of every video? Or how are you getting people off of YouTube and into your world?
Well, I talk about my private coaching or group coaching until last year in my videos, and also talk about my lead magnet too. But I often talk about how my clients are doing in my videos. So people will know, okay, so she has some type of coaching. And then when I say, okay, so my coaching is not for everyone. If you are this type of person who wants to really improve your English pronunciation, then sign up for my email. Sign up for my free workshop. And if not, please don't. Kind of like that.
So let's jump back to the funnel then. You mentioned the word workshop. Is it a pretty standard like evergreen webinar funnel that you've got set up?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they sign up for the workshop. You present the workshop to them. Are you using any software for that? Or is it more a video on a page?
Yeah, just a video on the page.
Amazing. And you present the offer to them for the first time at the end of that workshop, right? And then what happens beyond that? You just kind of keep pitching the offer and sending them to a sales page until the deadline?
Yes. So the first 3 days, I just share my experience. And after that, it starts talking about my course at 50% off.
Okay. And then what happens to somebody on your email list if they get through the sequence and they don't buy or unsubscribe? Do they ever get repitched the offer, and are you nurturing them in any way?
Well, I do some like 50% sales from time to time. So they keep receiving those emails from time to time.
Is that just like every couple of times a year, maybe you pitch that to your entire email list, or is it more kind of automated and sequential?
I manually promote my course. Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay. How big is your email list?
Right now, maybe 330.
How is that possible? 330 people. You know, obviously we know each other a little bit, and that's one of the things that's always jumped out so much about you is how small your email list is compared to the money you're making, and also how diligent you are with keeping a clean email list. Is that still what you're doing today? Is like, you kind of know everybody on your email list, and
yeah,
and you won't let just like anybody stay on there?
So I hit six figures when my email list was 150. And when I share this with others, I'll, you know, always get this type of comment, like, how do you do it, right? So I have this urge to want to know who's on my email list, who is on my subscribers list on my YouTube. So I email and ask them, hey, fill out this survey so I get to know you. So I read all the responses and, you know, I try to email those, but thinking about just one person. When I send emails, I think about one client in my head and then talking to that person. And then I receive the emails back and then I respond to them. So I really want to get to know everyone on my email list. And if someone doesn't open it, and, you know, I'm sorry, but that person needs to go. So from time to time, I clean my email. And when I do that, I lose 80%. Of my subscribers. So I start fresh and I want to keep my open rate really high.
Wow. When I hear these numbers, I immediately think that your funnel conversion rate must also be extremely high. You're selling 2 to 6 courses a month. And some people would say, oh, that's not that many, but we're talking a pretty high ticket course here. And your email list is 330 people. So I don't know how many numbers you have in front of you right now or know already, but any idea like how many people are joining the email list each month? I mean, if it's years in, we're at 330, obviously you purge, but do you know that number, what your funnel conversion rate is?
Well, right now, I have more people, more leads coming in, but before that, I was having maybe like 10 to 15 people coming into my funnel every month.
Per month.
Yes.
So you're getting like a 30% conversion rate on your funnel.
Yes, 30%.
On a $1,600 product. That's it. I would challenge anybody to have a higher funnel conversion percentage there. So do you ever just think like, oh my gosh, this is insane. Like I need to just drive more traffic into this incredibly high converting funnel?
I really don't want to, because when I start saying, hey, everyone is welcome, I know the kind of audience I will attract. So I want to just show up in front of the right audience. That way I can really help them. So
I saw recently, you did some sort of TED talk. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So last year I applied for a TEDx Huntington Beach, California, and I got accepted. I was surprised. I got accepted, and I talked about how I acquired English sounds because I couldn't hear them for a long time. But then I worked on listening to breath, like airflow, vibrations and energy in the language. I started hearing more sounds. So that was about my talk.
I'm completely ignorant here. I didn't even realize you could just go apply to do a TEDx talk. I mean, that's how it works. Like it's open for anybody to just apply.
Yes, it is. Like either you get invited to talk or you apply. So I applied. And I went through 3 application process.
What was your motivation for applying to that?
I wanted to share my discovery on sounds because as Japanese, I couldn't hear the difference between ear, and year. Like, I couldn't really hear the sound difference before, and I couldn't hear the sound like L and R. So rice or lice, to me, they sounded the same. And then later I discovered more about pronunciation, and now I hear more sounds and I'm able to pronounce different consonants and vowels. I wanted to share this experience with other people who are learning a language, specifically people who are learning English, coming from a very different language background. And I wanted to show them the possibility. And after I did the talk, I noticed that my Japanese friends are sharing my talk with other Japanese, and other people are sharing my TEDx talk with, you know, someone else who's learning the language. Ah, it's such a amazing experience. It was very good. And I'm so glad that I went through the process. Have you done like a TED talk kind of stuff? Because the style is very different from regular public speaking. And then a lot of people said TEDx talk or TED talk was the most difficult one I've ever done. Other people say, when I hear other people say that, I totally agree, because it was so painful last year to make this speech. And but then I'm glad that I did this.
So I certainly haven't, like I said, I'm kind of ignorant to how that process works. I've certainly watched my fair share of them, and I caught some pieces of yours. In what ways is it different than just public speaking? Can you go into more detail there?
Sure. So you want to focus on just one idea, like one focus, right? But then you start with something that's relatable, and then you end your talk in a higher place. The idea is a big idea. So you start with your personal story and meet with the audience there, but you bring them to the big idea in a matter of like 7 minutes, 9 minutes. So it was very, very difficult for me to come up with that speech.
And that's kind of the framework or the guidelines that TEDx themselves shared with you on what to do and what they were looking for?
Yes.
Amazing. And have you... because of having done that, were there any opportunities that opened up for you, even just, you know, maybe it increased course sales or anything else that came of doing the TEDx other than what you shared already?
Not really yet. I just need to, you know, use this opportunity to share my experience with my audience too more. But certainly I gained some credibility. So that was...
I would say so, certainly, yes. It's a pretty recognizable brand.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump back. You mentioned earlier in your story about finding Udemy and putting courses there. I think you mentioned something like 5,000 students. And eventually you moved to Kajabi, and so you could, I guess, charge what you want and get 100% of the revenue. So did you completely move off of Udemy, or do you still have courses there today?
So I actually closed, I actually unpublished my courses on Udemy for a while, but then I again published two of the courses on Udemy. So I unpublished my courses on Udemy because I was not happy with their system. You probably know how it works, right? Because they take like 50% of the revenue. I don't know if I can say this publicly, but I wasn't happy with the system. And then it started becoming more disadvantaged to the creators over time. I started using Udemy in 2018. And then earlier it was fine, but then they started changing the system revenue, and then they started taking more. And then I was kind of like, not happy with it. So I stopped using it for a while. But now I have two courses again on Udemy, not using their marketing tools, but I am not making much money from Udemy, but at least people discover my courses through Udemy and then they, you know, go to my email funnel after that.
Okay, so interesting. I don't have any courses on Udemy, but I'm sure that they have some safeguards in place to try to get people to stay on the Udemy platform. So how are you able to, even if it's a small percentage, get people who discover you from Udemy into your funnel on your website?
When you have Udemy, you can actually message your clients. You cannot put any links there in the emails, but you can say, hey, check out my profile website. I am doing something, some free workshop there, or I am doing this type of in-person workshop there. So I just message them using that opportunity.
Okay. That answers that question. Let's jump to tech. You've mentioned so far Kajabi. I know you use that. You've mentioned Deadline Funnel. Any other tools in your tech stack that are worth sharing for other course creators?
Not really. Just those two, I guess. Earlier...
Two? I pay for like 40 things every month, I think. I'm a tool geek, but you're just making it run on two tools?
Yes. Before, I was using all the free tools, right? MailChimp, Google Form, PayPal links, and YouTube, right? But now Kajabi and Deadline Funnel.
And so you're using even Kajabi's email functionality. That's where your email list is. That's how you send emails, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you deliver the course in Kajabi, your website's there. Pretty much everything you can have in Kajabi is there in Kajabi, and then you use Deadline Funnel for your evergreen deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and simple. I love it. Let's shift to advice. Those listening to this that are more in the beginning stages of things, what advice do you have for somebody that's looking to create an online business, an online course business of some sort? What are the official ICO recommendations for somebody like that?
I would say do something that scares you. So for me, I was scared of public speaking, and I waited to start my YouTube channel for a long time. And when I started my YouTube channel, it was really scary. But then I started uploading my videos. My first video was maybe like something that I don't want to watch now, but I went ahead and did it. And it was really uncomfortable watching myself. And I was really uncomfortable making videos, but then I got used to it. So when I want to do something, that thing may be scary right now, but I always feel that when we are scared of something, that's what we want to do. So I really want to encourage those who are new or are stopping themselves from doing something. I really want to encourage them to start doing the thing that scares them.
We should compare first videos one day and see whose is worse.
You're so hard to watch.
I started in 2013. You've never seen my first videos. Thank you for that, by the way. I've been doing this a long time. I'm also very much an introvert. Was terrified of the camera. It just takes practice. It takes runtime. And the great news, in my opinion, about getting started and really being horrible on camera at first is nobody's really watching at first. You know, not many people there to criticize. And it really does take that practice of putting yourself out there, talking into a camera, getting your message out there. So I think that's very wise advice. So to wrap it up, anything else you'd like to share with the audience? And where can people find some of your stuff online if they happen to be in your very, very, very particular audience? Because you are very particular about who you welcome into your world.
Yes. Well, first off, I want to say thank you to you, Jock, because I didn't have my evergreen funnel when I met you in, you know, Graham's Epic Mastermind. And I followed your email, you know, email funnel setup. And then I made it in 2020 and it's working beautifully. And, you know, I want to share those results after following your advice and the setup. My email sequence, the first email has open rate of 82% and click rate of 64%. Just following your formula. So I really want to thank you for that, because that really changed my business, because it's automated now. Before, it was just manually, you know, I was writing emails manually. Everything was manual before, but now, you know, I have some part automated thanks to your advice. So I want to thank you for that. So anyone who is following Jock's formula, I highly recommend just, you know, follow the setup, because it really works. And then my, for my audience, I teach English pronunciation to Japanese executives. I really want to help those people. So if you know someone, this specific niche, then, you know, please recommend my YouTube videos. Even though they're free, I put a lot of valuable lessons in my YouTube channel. So
how can, I know sometimes you have content in Japanese, sometimes you have in English. If somebody were to want to find your YouTube channel, how would they go about doing that?
So I have some videos speaking in English only, but then I realized that I started attracting like Korean people in Brazil, India. I couldn't help those people even though I attracted them. So I now speak Japanese and English in my videos, specifically talking to Japanese. So if, you know, Japanese people can find the videos using that search.
Okay. Maybe just searching your name?
Searching my name, keywords, but in Japanese.
In Japanese. Okay. Got it. So if you're not a Japanese executive, you stay away from Aiko's material. She doesn't want you. And that's respecting the niche for sure. Aiko, it's been a pleasure. And I really appreciate the kind words you shared. I did not put you up to that. That was very kind of you to share. I really appreciate that. I'm so glad it was helpful. Absolutely killer open and click rates. And I'm sure those high numbers are just, you know, throughout the entire funnel, which is why we end up with a 30% conversion rate or whatever that final number is. So amazing work. It's so fun to hear your story. And thank you for joining me. I hope we can catch up again in this format one day as well.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That is so motivating to hear how high her conversion rates are. With just, like I said, with such a small list, such a small subscriber base, I really think that anybody can do this and you can get started small and still have big results. I will include a link to Aiko's YouTube channel in the show notes. You can check that out by going to oc.show/221, oc.show/221. There you'll find a summary of what we talked about today and any links that we mentioned. Next, I want to make sure that you have checked out my new free training all about the formula to find success in an online course business. In this free training, I break down for you all the different pieces, all the different components that you need to succeed inside your business, and give you some of my best tips on how to do each of the components so that you can put together a highly profitable online course business. To check out that free training, you head to oc.show/workshop. That's oc.show/workshop. Thank you out there so much for listening to yet another episode of the Online Course Show. Or if this is your first time, welcome in. We've got a large backlog that you can go back and listen to. Either way, the most important thing you can do is take action on what you've heard here today. So please do that. I'm rooting for you.